of the Lord in Numbers chapter 13. I want to begin reading in verse 1, and we'll read a couple of verses and then skip down through this chapter. Numbers chapter 13, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. Okay, and those men are listed over these next several verses. Let's go down to verse 16. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Joshua, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now was the time of the first ripe grapes. Then going down to verse 25, And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran and to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. This is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Amen. I want to preach to us on that thought today. We are well able to overcome. We are well able to overcome. Would you just receive that and thank the Lord for that today in Jesus? Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to continue on reading here a little bit in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Numbers chapter 14, verse 1, And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. And then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Verse 10, but all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And you can read through the rest of Numbers chapter 14 of how Moses, he interceded for the people and he interceded unto God so that God said that these people who had tempted him would not see the land that he had promised them and their fathers, except for Joshua and Caleb. God said the rest of them, their bodies are going to drop in the wilderness. And reading Numbers chapter 14, verse 36, we find something that many may not know. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. The Bible is not clear what specific plague came upon them, but God so hated their evil report that it definitely seems that they immediately died. Now, they had returned with an evil report. They had influenced the congregation to murmur and complain and slander, and God finally said, I'm not putting up with it. Now, isn't it interesting here today that for all the influence that these leaders had to turn the people against the will of God, for all of that influence and all of that leadership ability, we can't even remember their names. All the 12 spies were great leaders among the people. The Bible says each one of them was a ruler among their tribes. And these were people with influence. These were leaders of the tribes of the children of Israel. And 10 leaders said, we can't. While 2 said, we can. And whose names do we remember today? Even though those 10 had so much influence that they were able to derail the promises of God for a whole generation, nobody wants to know their names. In fact, we just skipped over reading them today. But as for the 2 that said, we can overcome, well, that's the team everybody wants to be on. That's the team everybody wants to be on today. Come on, is there anybody here today? You want to be an overcomer. You want to live in victory. You want to go forward in faith. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to tell you today that God is drawn to those who live by faith. He is drawn to those who walk by faith, who place their trust in Him. Come on, if we get the attitude that we're just going to launch out by ourselves and we're just going to do our own thing and make it by our own willpower, God's not worried about that. He'll let us go, and it will be all on our own, though, and He'll let us fall, and He'll let us learn some things through it, but that's not where God gets pleasure from, because God dwells in the arena of faith. God dwells in the arena of faith, and if we want to see God move, then we've got to get into that kind of arena. Hallelujah. This weekend, we had a special visitor to Springfield. President Trump, if you've had your head under a rock somewhere. And the place was packed. How many of you got in to see President Trump? All right. Isn't that exciting? How many of you were waiting outside and didn't get in? So the place was packed, and there was, from what I hear, there was many more lined up around downtown hoping to get in. And now, if you wanted to see President Trump, you had to get into the JQH Arena where he was speaking. You could have waited at the fairgrounds all night long, and Donald J. Trump wasn't there. If you wanted to see him, you had to get into the arena where he was at. And I want to tell you, church, if we want to see miracles, If we want to see signs and wonders and the supernatural, if we want to see those kind of works of God, then we have to get into the arena of faith. We have to get into the arena of faith. Hallelujah. I hope that we can stretch our faith just a little bit here today to realize that, yes, there may be issues. There may be mountains to climb. There may be valleys to go through. But our faith does not stand in the things of this world. And we're going to launch forward with faith. In Matthew 9:22, Jesus said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Matthew 9:29, "Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you." Matthew 15:28, "Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Matthew 17:20, "And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." It's the arena of faith. Jesus said in Luke 18:8, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" I don't know about you, but when he comes to Springfield, I want him to see a household of faith. I want to see families of faith, a church of faith, people of faith, people that are overcomers, people that are excited about the work of God. If we want to overcome, we've got to dwell in the arena of faith. We want to see God move. We've got to be in the arena of faith. God responds to faith. See, too many are tempted to look at all the reasons why things can't work, why God can't do the miracle, why there can't be victory, why there can't be revival. Come on, why we can't see signs and wonders. And what is our focus today? Do we think that God's worried about how to bring his will about? Do we think that God is stressed about how to pay for revival? Come on, where is our focus? It had better be on God. Our focus had better be on God. They had just recently come from supernatural deliverance. They had just walked out of Egypt. Amen. Apparently nobody was sick. There was none that were limping. There was none on crutches. They had all seen the land turn green with frogs. They had seen the glory of God in the plagues that he brought down upon Egypt. They had been saved by the blood of the Passover lamb. They had walked across the sea, the Red Sea, on dry ground. They then watched as God destroyed Pharaoh's army behind them. They had seen the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, but the 10 spies brought back an evil report. Even though God had been faithful, even though God had worked miracle after miracle, these 10 men determined not to trust in God and in his promises. But let me ask us here today, how many times has God made a way for us in the past? How many times has God made a way for this church over the years? Come on, do we not think that he has things under control? Come on, do we not believe that God has things under control today? Some of you remember years ago of how the Lord has brought this church through some impossible situations. If God did it back then, don't you know that God can do it again today? Don't you know that Bishop Eddings faced some impossible, tough situations 37 years ago when he became pastor? But God gives strength, and God gives wisdom, and God gives ability. Don't you believe if God did it back then, he can still do it again today? Come on, let's keep our focus on God. Let's keep walking by faith. Let's keep trusting in the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We can't trust in man if we want to overcome. We have to trust in the power of God. Hallelujah. You see, Caleb never denied the obstacles. And there were some obstacles. The land was already occupied by the Amalekites and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites and the Canaanites. That's a lot of ites. And if that wasn't enough, there was giants in the land, the sons of Anak. And they said, we are like grasshoppers against them. Caleb never denied all that. Caleb never denied that there were obstacles, but his focus wasn't distracted by all that wasn't just perfectly right. In spite of the obstacles, he kept looking at all that was right. The fact that the Lord had given them the land already, in spite of the obstacles. And his words were, what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? God has given us this. Let's go up in once and take the land. We are well able. We are well able to overcome it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He didn't even address the negative. He just kept his focus on God. Come on, who is it here today that the Lord has already given you some promises despite the obstacles in your life? It doesn't matter what the enemy wants to do. It doesn't matter the giants that are in the land. It doesn't matter all the reasons why people say it can't be done. Not when our focus is on God. Not when we're looking to Jesus. When we're focused on Him, the obstacles tend to work themselves out. Sometimes God even uses the obstacles to set us up for a miracle. Stop worrying about the naysayers, the doubtful, the fearful, the stressful, all the awful. Let's get our eyes on Jesus today. Let's get our focus on the Lord. Instead of that which is doubtful, how about looking to the one who is faithful? Instead of being fearful, let Jesus make us joyful. Instead of all the stressful, what about all that we have to be thankful for? Oh, come on, take all of that awful and let God make things wonderful. Hallelujah. Who's in charge of this world? Who's in charge of this church? Who's in charge of our life? It's not me. It's not you. It's not the mayor. It's not even the president. Jesus Christ. He's the one that sets up kings. He's the one that sets up kingdoms. He's in control. When we keep our eyes on the Lord, yes, there may be obstacles there, but in spite of all the things that may be wrong, we know that there's one thing that's very right, and that's God's ability to come through and to make a way and to provide and to open doors and to supply. Oh, what a blessing to keep focused on the Lord. Every greater level of accomplishment comes with even greater level of obstacles. The greater the accomplishment, the greater the obstacles. That's just a given. But it's worth it. It's worth it. He's so much bigger than any obstacle. We don't have to worry. He's got this battle. He's got our life. He's got our life. I know that we may be facing some pretty big obstacles today. But if we're in the will of God, He's already taken into account the obstacles, and He's got a way through them. Here at Harvest today, I realize there's some obstacles. Yes, there may be some financial obstacles. But who do we think controls the money supply? It's not central banks. They think they do. It's not the Federal Reserve. No, God is the one in control. If we ever get to the place that where we get a little money and we think we're going to try to control God with our money, I tell you, we've got a rude awakening coming. We've got a rude awakening coming. God is in control of the money supply of this world. He can just as easily direct it from one place to another. Or if He wanted to, He could create it and put it in a safe and bring you the key. Come on, that's the kind of God that we serve. Financial obstacles, that ain't no problem. Not with God. Not with God. Come on, are we going to trust in money or are we going to trust in God who holds all the resources in His hand? God is able. God is able. Oh, but what about the spiritual obstacles? What about those spiritual battles? We've been teaching on Wednesday nights about spiritual warfare and the battles that, that we can face as a church. And I'd recommend, if you missed any of those, go to our website and listen to those messages if you've been missing them. Does that mean that we're scared about spiritual things that are going on? Are we scared about spiritual battles that we're going to have to face as a church? The last part of 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 15 declares, "Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." The battle is not yours, but God's. Amen. The battle is the Lord's. We don't want to be caught unaware of Satan's devices, but the battle is not ours. The battle is the Lord's. And what a blessing it is to trust in God, to know that He's in control and He's got the obstacles covered. What about people leaving the church? How are we going to make it? What are we going to do? Folks, people have been leaving the church for years. People, if you've been in the church any time at all, people leave the church. It happens for whatever reason. Ever since the church began, there's been people leaving the church, but the church just keeps marching on. The church keeps marching on. Whose church is it anyway? It's the Lord's church. Read the words of Jesus to Peter in Matthew 16:18. "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." If we want to be safe, if we want to be rewarded, we better stay in the church, because the church is going to last. The church is going to make it, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Hallelujah. When we keep our focus on God, He takes care of the obstacles. Somebody say, that ain't no problem. A report that doesn't include God is an evil report. Look at the obstacles. Look at the surroundings. And don't consider God's power. That brings a faithless report. Now, all the 12 spies, they were all leaders in their tribes. They all received the same promise that God had given them the land of Canaan, but there were some major differences in what they reported back. The majority report of the 10 spies said no. They misunderstood their mission. They weren't to go and determine whether God was able to give it to them. God had already given it. But they let their circumstances determine their perception of God. Their circumstances determined their perception of God. And they came back with an evil report. While the minority report of just 2 spies said, go. Yes, we are well able to overcome. They saw the circumstances in the light of their God, who is all-powerful. Come on, God is ready and He is able and He is willing to provide. The 10 spies had a horrible attitude. No wonder you can't find God anywhere in their report. They didn't even mention God once. They had a sour disposition. They had a pessimistic perspective. And their negative report spread like wildfire through the camp. Oh, I want to tell you, yes, they said, oh, it's a land fully flowing with milk and honey, but there's giants in the land, and there's no way we can ever possess it. But there were 2. There was just 2, but it was 2 that God saw. He saw potential in. Oh, those 2 took the same trip. They saw the same things the other 10 saw, but they returned with an enthusiastic report, a positive report. They never doubted that they could take the land. They never doubted. Yes, there were obstacles, but they knew nothing could stand in the way of their God. They said, we can take the land. What a difference in their attitude. What a difference in their perception. You see, what we say is what we get. What we say is what we get. It was just as they reported it. 10 reported, we can't. We can't. And they couldn't. But there was 2 who said, we can. And they did. What we say is what we get. What we say is what we get. Come on, what kind of words are we speaking? We need to stop letting worry and misery come out of our mouth.
Because what we say is what we get. Hey, we can be an overcomer. We can win. We can have revival. We can triumph in this battle that we're facing. We are well able to overcome. God is well able to bring us through. Come on, somebody say it right now. Come on, we are well able to overcome. We are well able to make it. We are more than able to have victory. We are more than able to have revival.
Young person, hear me today. We're well able to live for God. We're well able to overcome temptation. Come on, we're well able to keep our lives pure for the work that God has called us to do. We are well able to make it. I know it may seem like you're the only one maybe in your school. You're the only one that lives for God. You're the only one that takes a stand for truth. But I want to tell you, when you're on the side of the Lord and when God's on your side, we are well able to make it. We are well able to let God use us. We're well able to teach a Bible study. We're well able to win our friends. Come on, the next time the obstacle seems so big, stop talking about doubt and confusion. Don't let it even come out of your mouth, but instead speak words of faith, speak words of victory, speak words of healing, speak words of blessing. The majority compared their problem with themselves. We're like grasshoppers. But the minority compared their problem with God. The majority had a small God. But the minority had a great God. And the words that came out of their mouth reflected that. What we say is what we get. There will always be some that say it can't be done. But where are those who say it can be done? We are well able to overcome. Come on, let me preach to us just a little bit here today. We can make it. We can do it. We can overcome the things that stand in the way of God's will. Hey, the church is destined for victory. Hey, there's always going to be somebody speaking negative about the church. There'll always be some that talk negative, but the church is destined for something greater. We're destined for victory. We are well able to overcome. Joshua and Caleb, they stood against the majority opinion of the spies and the people. They based their stand on full confidence that God was able. They simply believed the God of Israel. They believed his promises, even at the risk of their own lives. We read that today. The people were about to stone them. When God's glory showed up and said, that's enough. And Hebrews says that God was grieved with their generation and that they would not enter into his promise for them. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Take heed, brothers and sisters. Take heed, brothers and sisters. Make sure our hearts are not evil. Make sure our hearts are not unbelieving. Come on, an evil heart of unbelief, it turns us away from God. It turns us away from the destiny that he has for us. It turns us away from the supernatural power and ability of our Lord. It robs us from the promises that he's already set into motion for our lives. Take heed that we don't have an evil heart of unbelief. What we say is what we get. In our reading today, we stop short of this, but reading in Numbers chapter 14, verse 37. Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lives still. And Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning and got them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we'll go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. Once they realized that God was going to destroy them because of their disobedience, they decided they'd just go anyway. They determined they'd go do it on their own. And Numbers chapter 14, verse 41 reads, and Moses said, wherefore now do ye transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you. that ye be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because ye are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you, but they presume to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwell in that hill, and smote them and discomfited them even unto Hormah. We must walk by faith while we're able. We must walk by faith while we're able. When they could have gone into Canaan, they didn't believe they could. God would have helped them. God would have made a way. God would have given them victory. Come on. He has already shown them time and time again that he would work miracles to lead them. He had fed them with manna from heaven. He gave them water from a rock. Yet when they could go, they chose not to go. And then when they wanted to go, they could not. We must walk by faith while we're able. What a vital truth today. Don't disobey God when you can conquer the land. If we can conquer sin in our lives today, come on, if you had the ability through God and through his blood and through repentance, if you had the ability to conquer a sin in your life, then do it while it's possible. If we can serve the Lord some way today, if we can give him what we have now, then do it right now while you have that ability. Be like the little boy who gave Jesus his lunch. He couldn't wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow would have been too late. By then the crowd would have been gone. By then there would have been no need to feed the multitude. But give your heart to Jesus today and let him do something with it while we can. You see this principle all throughout Scripture. The five foolish virgins, they were foolish because when the oil was available, they didn't want to go buy it. But then when they needed it, they couldn't get it in time for the wedding. We must walk by faith while we're able today. That oil, it represents the Spirit of God in our lives. Let's not neglect the Spirit of God while it's available. Because if we do neglect the Spirit of God, then one day when we need the Spirit of God, we might not be available to get it. There's people that they stay out of church and they determine, well, I'll just make it on my own. I can make it on my own strength. I can make it on my own power. And then they go through a crisis and they go through a situation and they run to the house of God and they say, now I'm here, Lord. I need your help. I want to tell you, we don't need to neglect the Spirit of God, because one day when we need it, we may not be able to find it. There was a rich man who could have helped a beggar daily. Lazarus came to the rich man's gate, and all he could get were some crumbs that fell from the table. And when they both died, everything changed and was different. Lazarus was blessed, and the rich man was in hell. Why was the rich man in hell? From this story, because he failed to do what he could have done in giving help to Lazarus. And then when he wanted to, he could not. The man who builds on the sand, for whatever reason, he didn't want to pay the cost of building on the rock. It was cheaper. It was faster. He could have been on the rock, but instead he chose to build on the sand. And when the storm came up, oh, how that man wished he'd built his house on the rock instead of the sand, but he couldn't go back and change it at that point. Today we're given the chance of a lifetime. We can build our life on Jesus Christ. We're given such an opportunity in the service. Here's a church that we can go to. Here's people here to pray with us, to love us, to be the family of God. There's a moving of God's Spirit in this place that's drawing us. Respond to it while you can. Respond to it while you can. Pray while you can pray. Repent while you can repent. Worship while you can worship. Because if we refuse, there will come a day when we desperately want to, but the presence of God won't be there and we will be unable to reach him. We must walk by faith while we're able. We must walk by faith while we're able. They refused and they rebelled against God's plan. And then realizing their mistake, they were now desperate to go. But it was too late. Joshua and Caleb were willing to go the first time.
And so 40 years later, they were the only ones allowed to go. Don't be among those who wanted to, but found out it was impossible because first we responded with unbelief. I wonder if you'd stand with me today.
Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might find peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Where's our peace? It's not in this world. This world is full of turmoil. This world is full of trouble. It's full of chaos. But our peace is in the Lord. Our faith is in the Lord. Our trust is in the Lord. How can we overcome? I'll tell you, we can't win by ourselves. We've got to have God's help. Most of the battles we face, they're not only in the flesh, but they're spiritual battles. So it's important to let the Lord fight for us. We've got to have Him fight for us. Exodus 14 and 14 says, "The Lord shall fight for you and ye shall hold your peace." Let God fight the battle for you. Let God make a way. Trust in God to bring you through. Depend on Him to bring you out. Let the Lord open the door. We don't have to fight this battle all ourselves. The battle is the Lord's. 10 naysayers spread anxiety all throughout Israel's camp. Their rotten attitude infected the whole congregation until that toxic spiritual virus couldn't be contained. Because of their negative report, almost 2 million people were deprived from their inheritance in Canaan. They were driven back into the wilderness to die. And God delayed His promise for 40 frustrating years. We've all but forgotten those 10 faithless and evil spies. But we all remember Caleb and Joshua. Caleb, Joshua, come help. I don't see any other Calebs over there. Come up here. But Caleb, I don't even know the other 10's names. But you say Caleb, meet somebody out in the community. They say Caleb, automatically you think, I know who Caleb was. But Joshua, for the life of me, I think there's one of them. His name started with an S, but I don't remember exactly what it was. Shamua or something, maybe? I don't remember all those, but I remember Joshua. Come on, nobody wants to be a naysayer. But there's people today that God has promised you victories. He has promised you open doors. He has promised to make a way. He has promised revival. He has promised the great things of God. He has already promised it to you. Somebody needs to receive that today and say, we're well able. We're well able to overcome. We're well able to make it. Come on. Because we realize we're not just relying on our own strength. We're not relying on our own ability, but we're serving the God of heaven who is able to do anything. He is able to make a way. He is able to make a way in your life and in your family. I realize today we might be facing some large obstacles. But Caleb didn't even mention the obstacles. He had his eyes on God. Folks, here's what the obstacles will try to do. They'll try to get your sight off of where God wants you to go and look at where the devil wants you to get hung up. Brother Wiggins, I remember driver's education. I had this habit when I first started driving. I was looking right here. I was looking like 10 feet in front of the car because I didn't want to hit the curb. And I didn't want to. And the instructor said, no, you need to look out down the highway. And then let your peripheral vision kind of handle what's right here. Sometimes when we're walking along life, we get to looking right here. And I want to tell you, sometimes there's some obstacles right in front of us. We need to lift up our eyes and we need to look on down the road and see something beautiful ahead of us. Come on. Don't get your eyes off the Lord. Keep looking at Jesus. Keep looking at His power. Keep looking at His ability. He is well able to bring us through. He is well able to make a way. He is well able to handle the obstacles. Thank God for the two that said we are well able to overcome. We are well able to overcome. Come on, somebody today, you might be in the middle of some circumstances. You might be in the middle of a bunch of obstacles. But I believe today that God can take those obstacles and He can use it to launch somebody into the destiny that He has prepared for your life. How many of you here have been snow skiing? We need to take a church skiing trip. That would be fun because I know how to ski and some of you don't, and I would have a wonderful time. You can laugh. It's okay. I learned how to snow ski. Folks, I know I'm closing. They took us up on the hill in sixth grade. We didn't go up on the mountain. We went on the bunny hill. But it was serious to me. They took all of our ski poles and they had us go stick them in the snow over here. And then we went over here and the instructor turned around facing uphill and just stay there and ski. Said, okay, I want you to come down and I want you to ski down and stop right in front of me. So here I am and I'm moving about 2 miles an hour and it was so fast to me. And here the instructor was and I thought, I'm about to run into this lady. I don't want to do that. So I just, and I went through the middle of all those like 50 poles and just they went flying everywhere and everybody's laughing and oh, so embarrassed. By the time that week was done, they took us to the top of the mountain. When I came down that mountain, I don't know, I think I had jeans. I didn't even have ski pants. I had jeans. I was covered with snow from head to toe. But I want to tell you, it was one of the most fun experiences and we had a great time. We've taken our family skiing before, just had a wonderful time. Got into skiing obstacles. They call them moguls. Why would somebody want to do that? I want to tell you, it's one of the funnest things you've ever done in your life. It's hard on the knees. But you go and they create these hills. They're small, little moguls. And you have to ski over this one. You got to ski over that one. You go down that, and then there's jumps. And I'm going to tell you, it's an amazing thing. You try to go down and you try to just look at those obstacles, you get real stiff, you'll fall. But if you can learn to go with the flow, you can learn to see the pattern, and you see where you're headed, and you see that jump down there, and you see the end of the mountain over there, and you see the trees on either side, and you kind of go with the flow, and you learn how to take those obstacles, and then you jump off of this obstacle, and you jump off of that jump, and now they take snowboarders, and they maneuver through all those obstacles. I want to tell you someday, sometimes you've got to just realize these obstacles in my life, the devil threw all this junk in my way to try to trip me up. But sometimes the Lord can take the very stuff that the enemy meant to destroy and He turns it into something that's going to launch you into the destiny that God had prepared for you all along. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, Caleb. Come on, Joshua. We're going to keep our eyes on Jesus. We're going to keep our focus on the Lord. Remember, what you say is what you're going to get. And it might have been a lot of years down the road, but that's when Caleb said, you know what? I had some promises, and I'm about ready to see my promises come through. Give me my mountain. Give me what was promised unto me. And the Lord gave it to him.
What we say is what we get. And we've got to walk by faith while we're able. There could some be someday, if we choose now to retreat in fear, someday we may want to go forward and we can't. Thank you, guys. Keep her focus on God. What we say is what we get. And walk by faith while we're able. I tell you what, we're able to come to this altar today. We're able to repent today. You're able to be baptized today. They cleaned that baptistry. It's looking so nice. You're able to receive the Holy Ghost today. Come on, you're able to repent of some things that have been plaguing you and some troubles. You're able to come and lay those things at the altar today. Why would you resist when that kind of faith and that kind of power is available in this house? I just feel like somebody needs to hear this message today. We're well able to overcome. Come on, you're well able to overcome. We're well able to move forward in faith. As they begin to prepare to sing, I wonder if we could just come around this altar by faith and believe God for His promises and believe God for what He's about to do and believe God for the miracles that He's promised your family and believe God for the doors He's about to open. Come on, would there be a show of faith in this house? We are well able to overcome. We are well able to see victory. We are well able to take the promised land. We are well able to move forward in faith because we're not in this by ourselves, but we're trusting in God. We're trusting in His promises. We're standing upon His word and we're moving forward in faith.